Part 2. You'll hear a mountaineer called Stella Prime talking about her experience of climbing Mount Everest in the Himalayas. For questions 7 to 14, complete the sentences. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
Hello, I'm Stella Prime and I'm a mountaineer. I'm here to tell you about climbing Mount Everest in the Himalayas, the world's highest mountain. I was first bitten by the climbing bug when, as a journalist, I accompanied an expedition on the northeast ridge of Everest some years back. I wanted to write about what made mountaineers tick, and over the couple of months I spent with the expedition, I began to understand the sense of freedom and achievement that mountaineering brings, and I did lots of personal learning and exploration too. I think they were the happiest 2 months of my life. Over the next 3.5 years, I honed my newly acquired climbing skills on various mountains all over the world. People say, "Weren't your family surprised by this new interest?" Well, they weren't, because I'd already done numerous similar activities of the sort people like to call adventure sports, you know, hand gliding, scuba diving, and so on. Anyway, eventually I gave up my job, let out my flat, and joined the British Everest expedition. To prepare physically for this, I trained at my local gym. That was the easy part. The bit I found trickier was the mental preparation, and I'd learnt that whilst you have to be physically fit, that is really only half the story. And there were lots of things that frightened me about Everest. One of them was the icefall that you have to climb through. A friend asked if there was any way I could prepare myself for it. I thought, well, what can I do? Put myself in a fridge and look at lumps of ice? Everest is certainly not a place for cowards, and it's also certainly not a place for life's luxuries. You don't carry anything that isn't necessary because weight multiplies at high altitudes. The first time I went, as a journalist, I carried my perfume all the way, but it wasn't necessary. You can forget baths and showers on a mountain as well. On my second trip, I didn't even take my toothbrush above 7,000 metres. The only source of water is melted snow. To melt snow, you need fuel, and fuel is heavy, so you don't melt snow unless you're going to drink it. The question I'm asked most often is, how did you feel when you reached the summit? Well, I still get emotional when I think about it. Neither of the two climbers with me had been to the top before either. It was tremendously exciting, obviously, but I think the overriding thing we all felt was a great sense of satisfaction. That is the thing that stays with me when I look back. Since then, I've gone on to climb a number of other summits, and I plan to tackle Mount Fuji later this year. And of course, I've got my new career in TV as a presenter on the programme Tomorrow's World. I'm in demand on the lecturing circuit, and my book about my ascent of Everest, Aiming High, is a bestseller. So, that's my story. Now, does anyone have any questions?
Now you'll hear the recording again.
Hello, I'm Stella Prime and I'm a mountaineer. I'm here to tell you about climbing Mount Everest in the Himalayas, the world's highest mountain. I was first bitten by the climbing bug when, as a journalist, I accompanied an expedition on the northeast ridge of Everest some years back. I wanted to write about what made mountaineers tick, and over the couple of months I spent with the expedition, I began to understand the sense of freedom and achievement that mountaineering brings, and I did lots of personal learning and exploration too. I think they were the happiest 2 months of my life. Over the next 3.5 years, I honed my newly acquired climbing skills on various mountains all over the world. People say, "Weren't your family surprised by this new interest?" Well, they weren't, because I'd already done numerous similar activities of the sort people like to call adventure sports, you know, hand gliding, scuba diving, and so on. Anyway, eventually I gave up my job, let out my flat, and joined the British Everest expedition. To prepare physically for this, I trained at my local gym. That was the easy part. The bit I found trickier was the mental preparation, and I'd learnt that whilst you have to be physically fit, that is really only half the story. And there were lots of things that frightened me about Everest. One of them was the icefall that you have to climb through. A friend asked if there was any way I could prepare myself for it. I thought, well, what can I do? Put myself in a fridge and look at lumps of ice? Everest is certainly not a place for cowards, and it's also certainly not a place for life's luxuries. You don't carry anything that isn't necessary because weight multiplies at high altitudes. The first time I went, as a journalist, I carried my perfume all the way, but it wasn't necessary. You can forget baths and showers on a mountain as well. On my second trip, I didn't even take my toothbrush above 7,000 metres. The only source of water is melted snow. To melt snow, you need fuel, and fuel is heavy, so you don't melt snow unless you're going to drink it. The question I'm asked most often is, how did you feel when you reached the summit? Well, I still get emotional when I think about it. Neither of the two climbers with me had been to the top before either. It was tremendously exciting, obviously, but I think the overriding thing we all felt was a great sense of satisfaction. That is the thing that stays with me when I look back. Since then, I've gone on to climb a number of other summits, and I plan to tackle Mount Fuji later this year. And of course, I've got my new career in TV as a presenter on the programme Tomorrow's World. I'm in demand on the lecturing circuit, and my book about my ascent of Everest, Aiming High, is a bestseller. So, that's my story. Now, does anyone have any questions?
That's the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3.